Welcome back to Lala Beams. It's me, Lala. I just got done recording episode 30 with Dangerous World Podcast. It was a pretty fun episode. We talked about the Titanic conspiracy. We talked about what could potentially be at the bottom of the ocean as well as above us. And we got into just a couple of our conflicting views. There was a conservative agnostic view, atheist, globalist, liberal view, and then me, who's more apolitical, spiritual, if you will, believes in a creator, has a very distinct view. I don't identify with agnostic. And we talked about all types of topics. So I think you guys will enjoy this one. And as always, thank you so much for listening and let me know what you think. So doing my research, it just seems like there's so many different sides to why this could have happened or how it could have happened. There's a lot of theories on how it sank. There's a lot of theories involving, like, was it the Titanic at all? It sounded very familiar to the playbook of 9/11 in the insurance scam side of it, but that's like the tip of the iceberg.
I see what you did there. Okay. But, well, you know, so yeah, I was actually curious. I wanted to ask you something more specific to you. Where did you come up with this name, Lala Beams? Because when I hear beams, I think of like aliens beaming up or beaming someone up. Is that, am I close there?
Well, the way my account originated was literally so I could talk shit to people.
I respect that.
Like it had nothing to do with the podcast.
That makes sense why you get along with Alex then. Yeah.
It was like an anonymous account to like go on and like talk shit to people. And basically it started as Lala Bean with like a bunch of random numbers after it. And then when I started like making the memes, I was like, that's kind of stupid. So I just changed it to beams. And I was like, okay, that's like a beam of light. You know, like it could be what you said. It just sounds cooler. And then yeah. I had like the alien vibe and I was just like, it kind of chose me is what I'm trying to say.
I like it a lot because, you know, too, with this day and age, if you have like bean in your name, that could be taken as like racist.
Well, I am brown, so I could get away with it.
Exactly. But if you're not showing your face, I mean, this is very risky, right? But no, I love the name. I just, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, this chick's going to be cool. So
thank you.
And then you wanted to get into this entire topic of the Titanic. And what drew you to just conspiracies in general? That's always something I'm really interested
in. Sure. So I've always, like, I don't remember a time that I wasn't into conspiracies. I've always just kind of liked stuff that most people thought was, like, weird or whatever. Like, I just said on my last episode, when I used to, like, get drunk with my friends, the topic would always end at, like, metaphysical topics. And, like, especially with religious people, because I like to debate. And that's like one of the most highly charged topics. So I would like seek it out. So again, it chose me. This life chose me. But this specific topic, because I was looking through your podcast episodes and I was like, holy shit, like they've done a lot. Like you've done everything. So I was like, okay, what can we do? I said the Philadelphia experiment to you. You're like, oh, done that one. And I was like, oh, I've been really wanting to get into this Titanic. And I love podcasting in general because each week or whatever you pick a topic and it's just like you have to dive in and really like find everything you can on it. And I thought this was a good one.
It's an interesting little exercise to see how much information you can kind of cram in a short amount of time if you're not familiar with it already. But what were you going to say, Brandon?
I was just going to say, yeah, it's definitely a good editing exercise. Lala, we have some portion of our listenership who is also interested in religion. And as you may know, I'm drawn to that topic as well. It's kind of what got me into, that's the only reason I'm not a Luddite is so that I can comment on IG and Facebook posts about religion. because I always like to know the way that people think about things, and that always goes through pre-established tunnels of thoughts that we've burrowed for ourselves. Where do you find yourself these days religiously, if you could put a title or two to it?
Right. I don't mesh with like organized religion, although, you know, respectfully, if someone else does, that's their journey, that's their life. I think that the relationship with our creator, with the divine, with God. That is a very personal thing. And I don't think you need a church or a pastor deciphering what that should be.
Definitely. Sure. I mean, I agree with you. So it seems like you're, in a way, you're kind of agnostic. Do you like even labeling yourself as that, or is that too much of a label? No.
Yeah, I don't label myself.
Good. Well, hey, you know, you're a Ronin, like Sam Tripoli says. I like it. I like it a lot. But you know what? So like with the Titanic, I mean, I find this topic really interesting because
hold on a second. I want to know your guys' religion now. That
oh, sure, sure. Brandon, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm pretty strong atheist, Lala. I'm I'll go up a bit farther and say I'm an anti-theist, someone who thinks that that the world would be a better place without theistic forces. A lot of the same concerns that you guys are concerned with in your theories about the elites having power, I share that concern. I think the difference for me is that the theistic arguments, because they can't be argued against in a whole bunch of cases, those are the most dangerous ones, because it sucks when there's just like it's culturally taboo to talk about why God might not be on America's side. Like there, that's an issue that can ruffle some feathers, even in some basic, even some in the group of nuns, which is a rapidly growing demographic, nuns, N-O-N-E-S, obviously, people who just don't ascribe to any particular religion, don't go to or belong to any church. I do find the state to be a good stand-in for religion, and that is the basis of a whole bunch of arguments that Ryan and I have here on the Dangerous World podcast. So
now, you know, I love how Lala's saying that she doesn't like to get in between anyone and the religion and starts laughing at you, Brandon, when you say you're atheist. I love that.
You know,
I'm not
even
laughing at you.
Yeah, I mean, with you.
Like people say that like an atheist is the last person that they will vote for as president. You have to claim some kind of belief in bullshit. That's what I'll say to get into that office. So there's a whole bunch of crazy ideas floating around in the brains of people who are in those top offices, not just in the governmental ones. I'm just focused a little bit on rooting out the religious ones, and am skeptical in the same ways about the bourgeoisie in general. So that's where I empathize with there. But Ryan, have you moved from agnosticism, man? I mean, it's a comfortable place to be. I know what you mean, but where are you finding?
And you know, and I even find trouble just labeling myself as anything, but that's just the one that I can identify with. I find it kind of annoying when you have people, a lot of them in California, you know, these really hyper liberal places that say like the universe is going to guide me to whatever I need to do. And that's fine. You know, if people like doing that, that's great. Whatever makes you happy. But it can get kind of annoying. You know, I have some crystals in my home that I bought recently and they're fun, you know, some cool stuff like that. But when people start saying like, oh, Mercury's in retrograde today, it's going to be a rough day. You know what I mean? Like shit like that. It's just, to me, it's like, man, like why can't we just, kind of go through life and just, you know, like respect that we don't know everything. We're not going to know really anything until we die, as far as like what's on the other side.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, as an atheist, what do you think happens when you die?
The same thing as Lutheran Christians. I think you're dead. As Bill Burp said, just dead like a fucking pigeon. Just hanging there. The life and being is a state of the brain. We're lucky because we got some pretty big ones up here in our frontal lobes. But aside from that, I don't see any kind of, I don't believe in the spirit. I don't believe in the soul, anything like that. That's, you know, just outside of the realm of reality to me. I enjoy talking about it and did grow up a very, very strong Protestant Christian. I know the, as most atheists do, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I know the Bible quite well. Actually just got finished reading it all over again with my Christian girlfriend. And to be honest, I think that according to 1 Peter 3:16, I mean, I'm just going along my path trying to defend my beliefs. And I think I should be, as any Christian should as well, be ready to be called to those beliefs. So if God's really all that kind of a good guy, he'll know where my heart was. I'm not too afraid of it, to be honest. But nothing happens to you after you die, I think. And which is the worst part about those 9/11 bombers, they just don't get to know that they're wrong. They're just fucking dead, just gone, you know.
To me, there's like, if you take it if you believe, you know, any of like Nikola Tesla's works and the way the universe is in energies, frequencies, vibrations to me. And if you think about like sacred geometry, Fibonacci sequence, that's proof to me that God exists. No, I don't think God is a judgmental man in the sky who is going to punish me in hell for eternity for fornicating or something like that.
Yeah, or not believing in it.
Right.
Doesn't care what you're doing with, doesn't care about what you're doing with your clothes off. That's not too radical of an idea for a God, a universe creating God. I agree with you there, Lala.
Yeah. But well, we got a little off topic. So now that we all know what we believe about God and our non-gods and all of that.
And we sized each other up.
Like, what are we dealing with here?
Well, okay. it's a good template though, honestly, because, you know, I will, you know, spoiler alert, I'll just chalk this entire Titanic episode up to, I did research, obviously, as I told you guys before the recording, into the conspiracy theories, but I'll chalk this whole thing up to just malpractice, just people being dumb, because I think a lot of the times it's better to ascribe ignorance or stupidity where you could, if you, sorry, I think it's a bad idea to ascribe malevolence. So bad plans, you know, people in dark smoky rooms twisting their mustaches as they talk about how they're going to kill thousands of people. It's not as good to ascribe the reason for something happening with that as it is just malfeasance, just people being dumb. There's a couple parts of the Titanic episode that I hope we'll get into that demonstrate that the most. But Ryan, we haven't talked about what we were researching. What's the thing that like jumps out to you the most that says like, semi 9/11 ish, you know?
Well, so like a false flag is what you're saying. I don't know if it's, if you can really compare it too much to 9/11, but the same way that you're compare or that you're saying that you would chalk it up to malpractice or stupidity or whatever, I chalk it up to the money, just like all of the other conspiracies, the major conspiracies out there. They all, like, you got to follow the money. And JP Morgan, who owned the White Line, or what is it, White Line, or White, whatever, Star Line, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And we'll get into all this stuff, but JP Morgan, as far as the creation of the Fed goes, there's some very interesting dates as far as when the construction started, when the Fed started, when he died. And the three people on there, the richest people on the Titanic or the Olympic, whatever, you know, angle we're going to take here, they are all rumored to be staunch critics of a central bank. And, you know, I saw on like Reddit feeds and things like this, like, oh, how could they be against the creation of the Fed because it wasn't even proposed yet and blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, you don't think that these people just came up with the Fed in a year. You know what I mean? This is a pretty old idea as far as the central bank and controlling the money supply. Whether they were against the privatization of the Fed or they just simply were against it because it would have damaged their personal wealth, I think it has something to do with money. And I do lend a lot of credence to the theory that JP Morgan wanted to get these powerful players out of the way. But what do you think, Lala?
Well, there was a couple people on the boat that Benjamin Guggenheim, Isidore Strauss, and John Astor, they were very vocal critics of the Fed. And this was the idea, like you said, they were bouncing it around. They said there was inherent dangers, one of them being that it could undermine their personal fortune. And so they were invited on the Titanic, this luxurious boat that could not be sank, first class, come on in. And then at the last minute, JP Morgan and about 50 other families are just like, I'm sick or I don't feel like coming, or they made other plans. I mean, dude, that's fucking fishy. And as far as like the insurance scam part of 9/11, it's like, for me, it's like 9/11 wasn't about the insurance. But it's like, why not fucking like make a shit ton of money on crime against humanity, like at the same fucking time? These people don't care. And then, but like I was saying earlier, there's so many different sides to it, because then there was the Olympic, who apparently had already came into a collision with another boat. So like, was it two birds with one stone? For me, the motive was most definitely to get rid of the people opposing the Fed.
Interesting. So money was just kind of a, like you said, like a two birds with one stone, but the primary objective was getting rid of these obstacles, in particular Guggenheim, Strauss, and Astor is what you think. That's interesting. I mean, that's very valid. But I mean, like, you brought up a few things there. Sorry, Brandon, you brought up a few things there as far as the insurance scam goes with 9/11, since we keep tying this back to 9/11, right. There's the rumors that this was like an asbestos ridden building, and Lucky Larry wanted to get rid of the building because it was going to cost billions of dollars to actually properly fix the whole thing. And why not collect a fat, like $7 billion insurance payout with that? And then the same deal with JP Morgan and the Olympic. He had the insurance policy on the Olympic. He wasn't able to get the same type of policy on the Titanic ship. And then you start seeing that there's like different amounts of portholes on the Olympic and the Titanic. I think the Titanic had 14 and the Olympic had 16. And then when they see the Titanic taking off, there's clearly 16 portholes, according to people that were around and people that took pictures and things like that. So that to me is freaking weird. You know what I mean? Like, you can get into all the, you know, crazier things, but there's just like, there's photographic evidence that this ship is not exactly what it seems.
The skeptic will always rush to say, you don't have evidence. You only have motive for whatever conspiracy theory is being proposed. But like you guys both mentioned, that killing two birds with one stone idea was really, really like a little bit shaking to me as I was researching this, because you have JP Morgan, who again owns the insurance policy on the Olympia and the Titanic, is looking to kill the people who would stand in his way financially in the future. And when you just look at one of them, you're kind of questioning, like, well, why would he have to kill that many people? Why would he be willing to go through with killing that many people for that amount of money, which isn't too much? I believe the Titanic was commissioned for just under $200 million in today's dollars. I might be wrong here, but I think that is a pretty fucking low price for JP Morgan types, even back then. It's in today's dollars, remember. But when you have them mixed together, You get rid of the competition, and you get the money to pay for the thing that you just sank. And these captains of industries are pretty, even the liberal, especially the liberals, will be the first to jump and say these captains of industries, the bourgeoisie, don't give a shit about the proletariat, the majority of people who were on those ships. As we all know, the people who were the richest got first in line to those lifeboats, were the least likely to die. Although people like Astor died. You know, when you get into Astor stuff too, you know, Astor is an opium like magnet, right? That's one of the things that's powering him. In there, you get a whole bunch of collusion between the up and coming, not even connected yet to the US, China, and then the birth of medical industrial complex, with the proliferation of petroleum type medications, petroleum based medications, and opium. You tie those together, man, you gotta, and again, with the fact that this modus operandi, this motive to do this would be so high for JP Morgan, something like that kind of screams in the face, even of a skeptic here.
Well, dude, JP Morgan was a Rockefeller, right? And then the Rockefellers were the ones that were the major oil manufacturers at that time. So like you mentioned, the kickoff of the medical industrial complex around this time, it just all ties together too well. You know what I mean? And then I think that it could be just as simple as just wanting to kind of make a historical event go down. You know what I mean? I think that there's definitely a ritualistic component to this whole thing, especially when we get into the dates and things like that everything started. Why wouldn't JP Morgan just want to, you know, for his family to kind of know that, you know, this epic event that happened, you know, one of the best selling movies of all time was made after it. You know, an epic event to really kind of kill some enemies. It's kind of like, depending on what side you're on with the Rockefeller family, it's like a hero's tale. You know what I mean?
Right. And I could just like see and visualize and hear them like in whatever venue that they would be, like some high class, you know, country club or something, just laughing, like rubbing their hands together, like, ha ha ha. Oh, this is the way, like, we're going to get that fed in there. And it's just like you said, it's just so perfect. You know, you're like the skeptic. I'm like on the complete other side. Like, I'm like, how crazy can this conspiracy get? So I just want to say, along my research, some of the more outlandish ones, there was like a lot of talk about how the ship went down. Like, was it an iceberg? First off, there was a second off-flight troller who said the iceberg was visible from up to 2 miles away. So if you have this captain, which has the stopping power, it could stop to a full stop within 850 yards. Even if it was an iceberg, that seems intentional. And apparently the captain, he had like Jesuit ties, and that he literally sacrificed himself in the same way. I think it was Captain Edward Smith, that he dedicated himself to the Jesuit order for a suicide attack. But some of the more outlandish ones that I read, the torpedo from a German submarine, where survivors actually said they heard explosions. There was a presence of a cursed ancient Egyptian called like...
It was the unlucky Pharaoh, right?
And
actually has like names associated with it that people, you know, fans of the Mummy would remember.
I think it was Amun-Ra.
Yeah.
And so these were some of the other ones, but then there was also the SS California. So the SS California was known even by people who know the official story. They were the boat that was out there, stopped and saw the emergency flares and did nothing about it. So this was during a time where like coal was like super expensive. So a boat wouldn't just be sitting out there wait, like, because turning on a boat used a lot of the coal. And it was just sitting out there. It had 3,000 wool sweaters, 3,000 wool blankets, and that's it. So what were they transporting? Were they really transporting the blankets and the sweaters? They had everyone on board making sure that they were awake and on the ready. And they literally saw the boat, you know, sinking and capsizing and did absolutely nothing about it. So there was also theories that saying that they were involved in actually helping it sink.
You said so much there. First of all, I want to touch off on this mummy thing. The mummy story is crazy. I mean, if you really think about it, because there's no records of a mummy being on board, which I find that funny in the first place, because it's like, how are they going to make records? Like, yeah, I'm going to take this mummy with me. It's an ancient artifact. I'm just going to, you know, kind of just bring this over here. But the idea is that it was a haunted thing. So when they pull this mummy out of the ground, people start dying all around this thing. And it was in a museum. Someone took a picture of this coffin. And when this individual took a picture of the coffin in this British museum, when he got the pictures developed, what he saw in the picture was so scary that he killed himself. You know what I mean? Like, this is the kind of shit that this curse of this Amun-Ra thing. And it just is following all of the people that are around it. And so I find that kind of interesting. And then did you guys also see the whole idea of the number of the boat, which was 39? What was it? It was 403. What the fuck is it here? Hold on 1 second. Yeah. So 390904. And if you flip that backwards, you get it to where it says no Pope. So that was another thing that was kind of like tripping people out. And like the only part that doesn't really make sense is how the four is an N backwards. But I mean, if you see it backwards, you clearly see Pope and you see no. That is pretty interesting. Did you see that, Lala? That's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, what else were you getting into right before you said the mummy thing? Do you remember?
Can I ask a little bit more about the mummy, guys? Can we confirm, has everyone seen the same information that I have here, that it was not actually a mummy, that it was the front-facing piece of a coffin? Is that?
I only saw surface information about that. I did not really expect there to be this much when I started digging. Like, and then there was just more, and then another layer, and then another layer. So no, I didn't see the details of exactly what it was, but I did. Another thing that happened curiously was the JP Morgan, or JP Morgan, he specifically asked them to take these priceless bronze statues 12 hours before they set sail. He asked them to remove them from the boat. Why would you do that unless you knew that something was going to happen?
Sure. No, well, I mean, go ahead.
He also had a stateroom, which I understand was pretty lavishly decorated. And actually, it's a weird thing that they note in the history books. They say that things like sulfur baths had been prepared for this guy. Now, sulfur is just a thing that you get in the in like hot springs, but back then, you know, it was much more of a super bougie thing to be able to do, to get sulfur baths. And I always find that whenever sulfur comes into it, because that's supposed to be the chemical, the smell of the devil, you know, and this, right, this amalgamation of mummies and high ass money, which, you know, money is the devil's plaything, along with idle hands, of course. I love that. I love that culmination there.
Yeah. So there was that, I remember what I was trying to say, Lala, where the, as far as the California ship, that was very interesting because the 2 days before the Titanic or the Olympic sank, there was the radio was down. The radio for the boat was down. And there was a third party radio company that was coming in to work for whatever ship it was. And they were basically working for tips. They didn't really follow the orders from the crew, the ship crew. And after the communications were back up live, they were basically just kind of hustling to get all of the message that the high tipping people were trying to get, you know, to and from their friends or whatever. And the captain of the USS California or whatever, what was it? The USS California? He was so annoyed with how many messages were coming in that he turned off his radio and also the audio, even having the radio turned off. He turned everything off so he couldn't hear a thing. And he slept fully clothed. He didn't even pay attention to anything going on. So the SOS signs coming out from the Titanic ship just fell on deaf ears. And that's kind of interesting that it's like all these pieces are falling in place for this thing to just have a disastrous ending.
That kind of radio comms is common too. That I know that there are confirmed reports of that same kind of thing happening on the Titanic as well, where I think the quote was like, in response to a whole bunch of people telling the Titanic, yo, you're going into iceberg country. I think the quote was, shut up, I'm doing blank and blank work. I can't remember what kind of job he was doing on the boat, but he was like, shut up, you people who are trying to tell me to be safe. I'm trying to steer into this iceberg, motherfuckers.
Right.
Yeah. And the captain of the Titanic, that Smith guy, he was a very decorated captain, but also infamous with having just poor shipkeeping. He was very sloppy. He, you know, there was no red flares on the Titanic, only white flares. And white flares signify a party. And red flares signify distress. So if you're shooting a white flare into the air trying to call for help, other boats in the area, they're just going to be like, oh, they're raging over there. You know what I mean? Right. They're not going to see it as like a distress call. So again, just another thing in a long line of, you know, just, I guess, misfortunate sort of events. But what I wanted to get into real quick was these dates that I find really fascinating. This was my favorite part of the whole thing that I was getting into. So the construction of the Titanic was on March 31st, 1909. Okay. Now the Jekyll Island meeting was a year and a half later or so, November 20th, 1910. And the main thing to remember here is March 31st. Okay. The fitting for the Titanic was complete exactly 3 years later to the date of its initial construction, March 31st, 1912. Okay, so again, you get 3 years to the date.
Right.
Three is a very significant ritualistic number. And then the craziest shit right here is that JP Morgan died on, again, March 31st, 1913. So he dies the same day that his biggest boat was ever constructed and completed, just a couple of years later, but on the same day.
Well, and put into context a little bit, Ryan, that meeting on Jekyll Island, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah.
It's the supposed, I don't know if it's confirmed, but meeting between like big ass money powers on this Jekyll Island. I'll look it up where it is specifically in the globe.
Off the coast of Georgia.
Off the coast of Georgia. Okay. So this is to initially allegedly propose the idea of a centralized bank. Am I correct?
You're absolutely right, dude. So like the whole thing is too, and that's the whole point with the death of JP Morgan in 1913. The Fed was created the same year. In December, Woodrow Wilson signed it into law 2 days before Christmas when Congress wasn't around to object to it. And they likely would have. There was a lot of people that were against the creation of the Fed, whether they be rich or just middle class or just sticking up for their constituents. A lot of people did not want a centralized bank that was privatized too at that. But yeah, Jekyll Island, it's, you know, we covered it pretty extensively in our Federal Reserve episode where it was these rich people. Aldrich was one of the guys leading it. But JP Morgan did kind of set the whole meeting into motion. This Jekyll Island resort was a, you know, extremely exclusive club. They kind of acted like they were just going out there to hunt, having sort of like a Saturdays for the Boys type weekend. You know what I mean? Just like chilling out there and just doing their own thing. But supposedly, like, these people were working the hardest that they'd ever worked in their lives over this, you know, week long period or so, where they created the idea for the Fed and then they, you know, proposed it to Woodrow Wilson and it got signed into law. But yeah, I mean, very, very interesting, just especially when you take the dates. I mean, what are the odds that this dude, JP Morgan, starts this huge fucking chip and then it's completed exactly three years later to the day, and then he dies 1 year later? You know what I mean? Like, that's not a coincidence. You know what I mean? That's why I think that you get the three significant dates, 3 years from construction to finish. And then, you know, the Fed starting the same year. I mean, it's just fucking crazy to me.
Lala, can I ask, we Ryan and I have talked about this particular issue. I always get a little bit queasy because I'm the SJW here. I'm the liberal who's concerned about feelings. I wonder how tight the grips on our minds are, in your perspective, when we talk about questioning the motives of very, very powerful and rich Jewish people. I don't know if you think, because I my loose understanding of the way the conspiracy theorists tie anti-Semitism back around itself to where they're not concerned about it at all, which is might be the case here, is just that the liberal elite, the deep state, has conjured this concern of anti-Semitism in the populace, in the mass populace's mind, and we actually shouldn't be concerned about it because we're in a much more equal playing field economically across the globe, no matter what religion or creed or, I suppose, ethnicity you are. But when people start question, like if people were to listen to this episode and say, man, they're sure as hell questioning a lot of rich Jewish people, doesn't that sound awfully Hitlerish? What we talked about the tunnels of thought that we have made before we came to this conversation. So when I say that, when a liberal says that, what goes through your mind as a retort?
Well, the closest thing to Hitlerish that comes to my mind is the vaccine passports that are happening right now. Oh boy. The Jewish disease that they said during World War II, which they needed the Jewish stars for, is exactly what we're happening right now, except it's the vaccinated and the non-vaccinated. But as far as questioning any race, any religion, the more that they push back on you questioning, the more that you should. And I think that the separation is so manufactured. I think that on a personal level, regardless if you're liberal, conservative, or apolitical, inherently as human beings, we care about humanity. Of course, there's psychopaths who want to kill people. Of course, there's racists who hate whatever. Of course, there's anti-Semitic people and white supremacists and shit like that. I think it's such a smaller percentage than what they try to make it seem. And I think that the separation is manufactured. And hearing about this and reading about this event that occurred in 1912. I mean, this is over 100 years ago. And to see that they potentially created this disaster in order to push an agenda that had to do with money is all it has done is just further solidify all of my current thoughts on what's happening now. I mean, 100 years later, think about the technology they have. Think about what they could possibly be wanting to push and why. And it's just like, how long have they been doing this shit? When was the first occurrence, if not 100 plus years ago?
And you mentioned like being able to imagine people in a dark, smoky room. Well, I think I'll use these terminologies, but in a dark, smoky room, twirling their mustaches, as I said, either. That to me sounds like evil people. Does the concept of evil to you, because evil is a great explainer for a great number of atrocities that have happened throughout history. Does the concept of evil exist to you? Like, is it a thing that you watch, you think we should spend a lot of effort making sure that we don't go towards or into evil, however you want to frame it?
Well, and then what Jewish people are we talking about here, Brandon? Because really just the Rothschilds were, just to kind of go back, but the Rothschilds are the only Jewish ones here. The Rockefellers were Christian. So, I mean, it's not just painting a broad brush over powerful Jewish people. So who else were you referring to here that was Jewish?
Well, no, there's just a long trend. I mean, if we go down those 12 families, and I think there's a number of connections that like have been proposed between the Obamas and Jewish families, or the Dutch East India Trading Company and Jewish families. Some of them are true. Some of them are true, and this is the tricky place between anti-Semitism and just recognizing the fact that a whole bunch of that Jewish people, that some very select few of Jewish people have done very, very well in America and in transatlantic trade. I'm not accusing anything. I'm really curious of the way that you guys think about it, but that goes. So I'm not accusing you, anyone.
Of, I think getting you're calling Lala anti-Semitic is what it sounds like.
No. I'm not accusing anyone of getting anywhere close to calling Jews evil, because I've seen that myself. You know, you just go to the Christians for that.
Yeah.
But, What do you think, though, that evil is a concept? Like, for me, good and evil are these terrible terms that have been applied to things and people, events and people throughout history. Is evil something that you're concerned with, Lala?
I don't know what you mean by concern. I think that.
How about this? The people that would have gotten together to plan this kind of tragedy. The Titanic,
right?
Were they sucking off of some evil teat in order to do their jobs? You know, like are they having to pray to the demon god Ra or do some kind of a ritualistic thing so as to get spiritually close enough to these people to these deities, these anti-deities? Yeah.
So for me, like in the same way that I don't believe in other like on the good side of religion. I don't believe in the bad side of religion either. So I don't believe in Satan or like a devil. Does that mean that people do not worship Satan or devil the same way they worship Jesus or other? Does good and evil exist in our world, regardless of like what their thoughts? Yeah, of course. But, it's all based on your perception. So you made a good point, Ryan, like imagine them sitting there when they're discussing it, like to them, do you think that they think that they're evil? They're just doing what's good for them, what's pushing their family and their agendas forward. So we live in a dualistic age right now. Everything is good and evil. But the bottom line is everything just is what it is, So when you don't have a religion that is pushing you to, say Satan is, or the devil is testing us or anything like that. Like my opinion on the Bible is right now, there's a lot of truth in it. The collective conscious pushes it into it. But it's also predictive programming because it's been controlled by the elite for so long. So like revelations and stuff like that, the mark of the beast, that's predictive programming. Like, I don't think the Bible is absent of that. So I think I went a little off topic.
I intentionally dragged you there, Lala. So thank you going going there willingly with me.
I want to clarify too, because Michael Aquino is punching the air right now because Brandon just said the evil god Ra. Ra is the sun god of Egypt. Set is the one that you're talking about as far as the evil one. So
I'm talking about from the Christian perspective here, in which any god except for the desert god bad guy. So you gotta remember the predictive programming that's been stuffed in my mind from birth, dude.
Yeah, I didn't want to offend Michael Aquino, the fucking pedophile from the government. That you know who Michael Aquino? You heard of Michael Aquino, Lala?
No.
Oh, it's crazy. That's an episode for you right there. This guy is like he founded the Temple of Set in San Francisco, and really weird mind control type stuff that he was doing. Like some kids were able to describe in a courtroom intricate details of his house without ever being there, because they were there, but there's no proof that they were there. And you can look up this guy. He's got like Satan looking eyebrows. He's a creepy dude, but he would just be very offended by what Brandon was saying right there. So I just wanted to clear that up.
I know, right? Ryan is the one who's actually concerned with feelings around here. No, guys, before we drift off too far from the Pharaoh, which I know we left behind a little bit, I want to ask about one particular guy here, because this kind of goes in with my concept of coincidence. Like, isn't it a crazy thing that this happened? So the idea that this unlucky mummy, the one that's related in some way to Amun-Ra, which again, I believe is just the front lid to a sarcophagus. Okay. The idea about it being unlucky was, according to JamesDeem.com, in his article, which is pretty good about it, it says the story initiated early in this century by Douglas Murray and T.W. Stead. These are two English writers who wrote about this mummy sarcophagus. And that T.W. Stead, it's really fucking weird, man. Just a few decades earlier than that, 1886, he's a prominent, W.T. Stead, this prominent spiritualist and investigative journalist. He tells a story. He's got a little novella about a protagonist sailor named Thompson getting on a boat, sailing across the Atlantic. And on that boat, there's a shortage of lifeboats and life preservers. It inevitably hits. I can't actually attest to, because it was changed over the years, I can't attest to what it said that the boat hit in this novella, but the ocean water sinks. And the women and children in this story are given priority to those lifeboats. The richest people get off. And guess what? Fucking Stead was on the boat himself. He was on the Titanic himself and actually was one of the 1,500 people who died.
Yeah. It's nuts, dude. And then when you look at were you talking about Morgan Robertson, or were you talking about the other guy that was getting into the shit too? Because the Morgan Robertson stuff is fascinating. The guy that wrote the Wreck of the Titan, or Futility, but then they ended up changing the title, right? But it's just crazy because this dude was found dead in 1915, poisoned by formaldehyde, not formaldehyde, like the thing to preserve dead bodies or whatever, but formaldehyde, which is sort of a thing to combat like alcoholism. It's like to chill you out. But this dude literally fucking dies, and he wrote the book, I think, 14 years before the Titanic sank, about a ship called the Titan. I mean, there's a lot of parallels there. So it's very interesting shit. Did you check that stuff out, Lala?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to bring up too when I brought up the predictive programming. Was that book there. And I heard you mention too, but I didn't see the other one. I saw the book that was by Robin Gardner, but which was just about the Titanic, the ship that never sank. He went into detail on the Olympic part of this. And then I saw The Wreck of the Titan by Morgan Robertson, which was written 14 years prior. So I definitely think that plays a part in it. What was the other book?
The other book doesn't, I couldn't find the title. Let's see. I will look for it and post it in here, but I couldn't quite find the title. But like I said, a few years earlier than that. And the craziest thing about that, obviously, is that he's on the fucking Titanic and dies. Yeah. Like if there's, it's almost it's almost like they missed this other guy. Was his name Ryan Robertson? It's almost like they missed this guy and wanted to get the guy who did the predictive programming, just as like, it looks like collateral damage, obviously, but just the guy who wrote the book, who put the idea in the people who killed the masses of people, you know?
No, they didn't miss him, dude. They fucking killed him, this Morgan Robertson. And that's what's interesting, is that you got J.P. Morgan and then Morgan Robertson. Morgan Robertson is the author of this book that, I mean, it's obvious to me, and I can't prove this, but it's just so obvious that I feel like J.P. Morgan felt called to, you know, read this dude's work. Morgan Robertson was very... he was pretty prolific for his time. I mean, he was doing some pretty good works, but it's just very interesting, I think, that you get the same names. And this, I feel like he was just kind of called, it just kind of adds to the ritualistic sort of symbolism here, as far as like the three, the same name. To me, it's just crazy.
I do think, though, that there's a strong possibility, and I think the literary records show this, that Robertson had edited, he had amended his book after the Titanic had occurred. Yeah.
I don't think he did, though. I think that he was forced to do that. You know what I mean? Because that, this is why I think he died, because he was prescribed the drugs he was taking, which, again, they're to combat anxiety. So after the Titanic goes down, this thing named after the boat that he's writing about in his novella, the Titan, after this thing goes down, you know, that dude's having some crazy anxiety. And so he's taking this medication, supposedly overdoses. What a perfect way to kill somebody, or just get somebody out of the way, because he could have came forward and wanted to say something.
Well, that was another interesting thing that you brought up too, about like the women and the children, and of course the elite getting off the boat. Yeah. The three Astor, Guggenheim, Strauss that I mentioned at the beginning, that was another interesting thing, that there was something more nefarious going on between them, because they would have been one of the first people to get off the boat, seemingly, but maybe that they were killed in a different way. So.
Oh, well, there's a lot of theory. There's a lot of people saying that they heard gunshots on the boat too. A lot of the survivors. And the guy that you're talking about, this whole women and children thing, that's Herbert Leidler, that was saying women and children get off the boat first, but guess who saved himself and guess who fucking lived? Herbert Leidler did, because, and even though he's a dude, you know what I mean? He's telling all the women to get on, and he's responsible for at least 500 deaths, because there was, I think some of the boats were not completely full. So he was just kind of shipping people out because people weren't queued up to get on, and he was just shipping them out. He was like, go get out of here. And then he hops on the last one.
He was on in the movie. Dudes.
Was he?
I'm guessing, because what you're describing, there's a scene in the movie just like that.
And well, all of my research here, 100% of my research here is based off of the Titanic movie. So I didn't do any other research other than just the Titanic. But
Ryan, before we get too far off of it, that the book by W.T. Stead was called, interestingly enough, "How the Mail Steamer Went Down in the Mid Atlantic." By a survivor, just so you know. So, you know, so again, on the very fucking nose, I will say,
what year was that published? Do you see
1886? This is the one that I'm not accusing of being rewritten by 1912, because in this one, there's some extra stories. Actually, the boat actually doesn't go down by an iceberg. In fact, this one of the people gets onto the iceberg, brings a child with them, and then I think they fight a polar bear on the iceberg. There's a whole bunch of symbology that could be in there for sure, but it's just because of the similarity, and then again because of the fact that this guy was on the boat, dude.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Well, let's talk a little bit about the people that were supposed to be on the boat, and then they just didn't. They canceled. You know, you got Milton Hershey goes on to start the Hershey Empire. There's a Vanderbilt that also cancels. He was told by a family member not to go because too much could go wrong on a maiden voyage. Boy, they weren't wrong, I'll tell you that for sure. And then you got a Baron von Bethmann. This guy tossed a coin. A legend has it that he tossed a coin to decide if he wanted to go or not. Already paid for the ticket. just happened to
likely
to,
story.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I mean, like, these fucking people, they don't come up with the best things. There was one guy that said that he was seasick because he had traveled from France the week before, so he was still seasick. This is James Martin Gray. But these are all people that go on to start empires. You know what I mean? And as far as JP Morgan goes, he's so tied in with this whole thing. There's a lot of these people that died, you know, Guggenheim, Strauss, and Astor. They were all friends of Nikola Tesla. And JP Morgan was a big friend of Tesla. He actually started his, or he funded a lot of the beginnings of his research, and then pulled out of the funding when he found out that Tesla had no plans to charge people. He had like essentially a free energy platform. And this is when he picks up this fucking asshole, Thomas Edison, who just worked, didn't he work at like a patent office and just stole all kinds of ideas from people? And then this is how he came up with the direct current. Fucking, you know what I mean? Like, it's just
a light bulb.
Yeah, it's just, it's so much of a, like, a comic book villain type of a character is this JP Morgan. I bank with Chase too. I mean, like, I feel like I shouldn't even say that because it's just like the worst. It's the worst thing. But I mean, this dude goes on to have the biggest bank. His name is in the history books. I mean, and when you go through the Rockefeller school system, you learn that people like this are a good character. Brandon, what do you think of JP Morgan as far as like a positive role model for college kids?
You know, I think that people should just put him up on their ceilings so that they can see him last thing before they go to sleep. No, dude, gotcha. It's the same kind of boat that I'm in with Bill Gates. Go ahead and laugh now, Lala, now that I've mentioned Bill Gates' name. But yeah. Just that it's not that I think he's a good person. Obviously, this is the bougie of the bougiest. They, by the way, happen to know a whole bunch more of each other, and this is how these networks of globalist support occur. I think we should push back against those networks in several ways. But the as a skeptic to the conspiracy theories, the question just comes down to, okay, make a specific claim about what you think he did, and then let's see if you have the evidence for it. That. You know, if these elites are as good as you guys think that they are, if they are being as evil as you think that they can be, they're going to find a way to hide the evidence. I understand that. Like, I understand that. It's just a matter of, okay, well, then if you don't have the evidence to claim that that whatever person did this or this or that, I best not to go around and claim that he had done this. I'm a Bernie bro still at heart, man. Like, break up the big banks. I don't claim to know enough about financial systems to know how our world would be different without a centralized bank. I think there's some humility that needs to be taken upon oneself when they say that they do know that a world without a centralized bank would be better. Especially when I know, Ryan, you normally apply things like common sense to this, that it seems just commonsensical that a centralized bank would be worse for the world. I just think that finances, they get anti-intuitive, they get counterintuitive, and they go against common sense a lot. So, to be honest, I don't know what JD, yeah, like, I don't know what the worst thing that Morgan was up to. I don't know.
If you look into what a central bank does and how much harm it does for a currency, it's pretty obvious just when you look at it. You know what I mean? It's pretty easy. I'm not sure how familiar you are with it, Lala.
But I would say, though, that you could look at the way that the world has grown. I'm not down with the way that the world has grown because it's been too aggressive. As you know, you guys know that I think that as a liberal,
blame the Fed for that.
But it's been really, really good for them. It also has pulled a shit ton of people in China and in India out of poverty. I don't know if that's worth it. I don't know if the kind of pulling up or the direction that they've been pulled towards once they've gotten out of poverty is any, I think that it's better, but I don't know if it's better in the right kinds of ways. I don't know if it's better that they have access to Washington. No, dude.
So the Fed isn't pulling, the centralized bank's not pulling India and China out of poverty. It's our tax dollars that are doing that with these stimulus programs that we send billions and billions of dollars overseas. When you and I mean, I still haven't gotten my fucking second stimulus check. So I mean, it's a serious problem, and I'm not making enough money to be able to say, like, hey, you know, I don't need it.
Well,
Ryan, but there's serious problems.
If you've done your taxes though, you know, you probably would have gotten the tax credit for it.
I do my taxes. I got my taxes all lined up.
They ask you though, have you received this check? Have you received this check? And you can say, no, I haven't received this check, and they'll give you that tax credit. I'm not saying it absolves the government of all bad doings and that Morgan is a great person. I'm not saying that. I'm just explaining because Lala so eloquently asked me what my thoughts on it were. That's my perspective. I understand that you guys are so ardently against the idea that it could just be malpractice. How about this though? It could be some malpractice, right? Like even in the best laid plans, things go wrong. There's this idea that there was a fire that increased the damage that the boat took as
it was the hit. Day of the launch, the day that they shipped out, there was a coal fire. But what are your thoughts on it, Lala? About what he was saying?
I personally do not think it was just malpractice. I don't think that they give a fuck about our human lives, period. So I think it goes back to what I originally said. It's the two birds, one stone. Now, an element of malpractice may be a thing, but it's like if you go to someone's house and you don't, like you have planned to shoot them, but you don't plan to kill them, and then they end up dying while you're committing a crime. Like, does it matter? No, because
Exactly. I mean, what about like with the JFK autopsy? They put someone in charge of the autopsy that had never done an autopsy before. I mean, like that's a fact too. And this guy lost JFK's brain. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like putting incompetent people in charge of something so monumental, like the biggest fucking ship in the world ever. You know what I mean? Like you could have probably put some better people in charge. If we are going to give Brandon's theory some credence here, why put these inept people in charge? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think the glory and the glory and I guess the magnificence, the complexity of huge human undertakings that we've had throughout the history that have then fallen, like the World Trade Center, things like this.
Like the moon landing,
all these kinds of things. They look so much more glorious, so much less fascinating and more like, holy shit, how much work do we have to put into this machine to get it to just go to the moon, or just to get this boat across the Atlantic? And so when you're in that, like you don't have smart people. I hate to tell you guys, you don't have smart people driving the US's nuclear submarines. You just don't have like the best of the best. Like a lot of the times we're pulling from the dregs of society, the people who are the least among us.
That's not news, I don't think, to anyone. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying that is how, if you're asking yourself, like, why would the U.S. government put incompetent people in charge of nuclear submarines, this hugely costly technology? If you're saying it's obvious that they put the poorest of the poor, the least, you know, the least likely to get ahead. That's why they like move from small cities to join the military.
Why'd you point to yourself right there?
Because I was one of them, dude. I grew up in a mining town. If I hadn't joined the military, I wouldn't have had any future in really any kind of anything except for mining, dude. I'm a perfect MK Ultra candidate, and you know this, Ryan.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, so you can acknowledge here that in this
industry, let's face right
there. you might be and not even know.
I know.
Who like
Lala? I've got To Kill a Mockingbird. Right over here, or I'm sorry, not To Kill a Mockingbird, fucking Catcher in the Rye, right over here, which you know has been in a whole bunch of assassinations.
Really just one, I think, or maybe two, Hinckley and then Lee Harvey Oswald. But no, I do want to hear, I wanted to hear more from Lala about like what you just think about. Obviously, you said that your idea is that it was like killing two birds with one stone with this whole thing. But I mean, I'm kind of curious, and we may have touched on it a little bit, but like, just why are you so interested in these false flag type events?
Because I think once you figure out like one or two of them, they become so obvious. And if you zoom out, because so many people are zoomed in, like, I mean, mm-hmm. Sandy Hook is one of the most quintessential in the way that horrible to question, horrible. What a horrible person you are to question.
Kids died. Lala. Yeah. Yeah. No,
you're right. I do not believe children died. Like,
yeah,
I do not believe children died. And so, and, you know, I think we touched on this, and well, just to go back, cause you were talking about the autopsy of JFK. And one of the most curious things about that, his name was Dr. Michael Baden, and he was also an expert in Jeffrey Epstein, George Floyd. First of all, he's a celebrity pathologist. Why is he at George Floyd's autopsy? That right there. I mean, I could,
because
I talk about that all the time, but
George Floyd's the second coming of Christ as per the court order.
To be honest, I've talked about this so much, and it's like, I don't even want to give this topic my energy because it's just so ridiculous. Good. But what I was going to say also, when I was just looking him up, because I wanted to verify, he also did Kobe Bryant's. So Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter accident, similarly to Mike DeGroy, which is the guy I was telling you about. He was a world-renowned filmmaker. He had a discovery at the bottom of the lake, which is known to be, I was looking it up, they're called Brine Lake. So they have really high salinity. And he described it as coming to a lake underwater at the bottom of the ocean, and that the submarine wouldn't penetrate it. It just bounced off of it. And then shortly after he went on with that discovery, he died in a helicopter accident. So
interesting. Yeah. I want to get into that whole idea a little bit more towards the end here. Cause that thing, when you show me that video,
one of the most amazing things that I have ever seen in the bottom of the ocean, it was while filming for Blue Planets in the Gulf of Mexico. And inside the ring of mussels was a lake. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm already underwater. And we went out over the water in this lake and tried to descend it and bounced off. It was so super saline and dense that the submarine couldn't go down it. We literally bounced off. And as we bounced off, we sent ripples heading back to the shoreline. It was insane. I've never seen anything like it.
A few days after this aired on the television that he had made this discovery, when him and his friend were flying the helicopter, it exploded and he died.
I know that it was all just kind of like, reenactment, but the idea of it, I kind of compare that whole thing to the idea of that Admiral Byrd flying into the hollow earth. You know what I mean? It's just this epic discovery that really hasn't been touched on. You know what I mean?
And well, there was a lot of other facets of it. I mean, do you guys know Crow 777? Do you know his work at all?
Okay, I do not.
So I just did an episode with him. He did a discovery of lunar waves, and we talked about his idea of beyond the firmament. If you believe, I mean, either way, regardless if you believe the shape of the earth, but outside of that space is actually liquid. And if you push it beyond that, so like, let's pretend that the world is flat. I know you called it a globe multiple times.
Me?
No.
Oh.
Brandon. And so I actually am not a flat earther. I believe that they both are true. And I believe that it's a black hole planet, which is a whole nother topic.
I saw that.
Yeah. And I'm doing an episode with this guy next week. So I will send it to you guys so you can, cause it's hard to process. It's a really hard idea to process, but either way, I do believe that it is possible that, especially after reading and hearing about, okay, so there's this man named Daniel Duvall. He runs a ministry for Illuminati defectors and SRA survivors of satanic ritual abuse. And,
only Allegra has 3-in-1 relief, so why compromise? Join the million.
Hell yeah. This segment's brought to you by Allegra.
Sorry. That's a bad boy over here. Sorry, go ahead, Lala.
Who was that? Are you not paying attention to me?
I am. I'm searching. I'm literally searching for what you're talking about.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, all what right, a so... fucking douche. I thought that was Lala. That was you, Brandon?
It was me.
Oh, my God.
I'm actually paying attention, Ryan, believe it or not.
Okay.
Well, okay. So this guy, he takes these people, you know, who are MK Ultra, who have escaped the Illuminati, who have survived, you know, the worst of the worst of the worst possible thing you can imagine. He helps them with their memories, putting back their brains together, because that's essentially what they do. They break your brain. So where you can't
split
remember.
It up. Yeah.
Yeah. But some of the people that he worked with, they would talk about being within the deepest realms of the occult. So they've mastered out of body projection, transmutation. So it's literally changing their physical form. And one lady in particular, she talked about some of the shit at the bottom of the ocean that she saw. And one of them was Nephilim cities. She talked about cryptid chimeras, which is essentially a creature that doesn't, you know, a mythical creature. But it has like a lion, dragon, and a goat head. And these are her memories. So regardless if it's legit or not, this is what she was telling the guy, Daniel Duvall.
What's that creature called again?
It's called a chimera.
A chimera. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, look it up. It's like a creature with three heads, three different animals.
I think listeners might know it as the chimera.
It's the first I've heard of it. So,
well, hey, don't feel bad. I pronounced Johann Sebastian Bach as Joanne Sebastian Bach on accident. You know, the classical composer. I'm not very good at pronouncing things.
Me neither. That's like calling it like a unicorn.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, but I'm checking this out here.
Yeah, the chimera is in Revelation, right, Lala?
Like you said, you're very familiar with the Bible. I am not.
Greek mythology too. Yeah, I'm gonna call it the chimera. I like that more.
Tomato, tomato. So yeah, that was part of what she said. And I found that really interesting. So it just had me piecing all of this together. Like what, yeah, they call it, the scientists, you know, they call it a brine lake. Easy explanation. There's a lot of salinity down there and you can't get through. But what if that is literally like a path below whatever is beneath this dimension? These are just my thoughts that I go into.
The hollow earth, and that ties into hollow earth. And I know that you don't think that it's a globe or flat, but do you give any credence to the hollow earth theory?
Well, absolutely. I give credence to all theories. I think they're all possible. And the black hole planet theory actually states that because the earth is a globe and because the earth is flat and because the physicist that I'm talking to in regards to this, he believes he can prove both of these things. So if both of these are true, it means that it must be a black hole planet, which honestly also feeds into the fact that, I don't know if you've ever heard, or like, we are holograms, like we're living in a holographic world, and that's a very literal thing. So if we're living in a black hole planet, it would even make sense that we're holograms.
What do you think about the idea that now space travel is becoming, it's going to become commercialized? Like Jeff Bezos is doing this New Shepard, which is a ship. It's like 200 to 250,000 to get a ticket. Ship holds like 9 people at a time, and you can travel to the lowest levels of what they call outer space. Because we've always said, like, well, we don't have the ability to know if the Earth's actually a globe or if it's flat. I find it kind of fascinating that we're on the precipice of actually being able to see it. You know what I mean? Like, not to say that, like, what you're saying, the idea where outer space is liquid. I actually kind of fall into that category too, to where it's like, that's why it's not necessarily a vacuum, it's liquid. And David Weiss, who we've had on the show, he believes the same kind of thing. It's a very common idea among flat earthers. But I just find it interesting that we're actually able now to send people into space. If you only got a quarter million to throw up, it's not that much cash. But I mean, you just, you know, you're able to get up there and see, you know what I mean? So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I believe it when I see it. And even when it does, sure, I'll be like, those are fucking actors.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, what if you were able to go up there?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I just think that's like a psyop that it's never going to actually happen. And it's to further push the lie.
Well, you know how long that fucking waiting list is going to be. Even if you had, like, if my Dogecoin and my XRP make me a multimillionaire, and I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll go check it out and I'll film it for all the listeners to the shows. I mean, the wait list, I'm probably never going to get on that thing. You know what I mean? None of us here are going to get on that New Shepard with Jeff Bezos.
So you saw the CIA document too, that goes into like that we're living in a holographic world. Have you seen those documents?
I haven't. Do you know what that is? What it's called?
I had a hard time finding them again, but I do have it on a Telegram channel.
Dope.
But yeah, this happened a while ago, but it got big on TikTok like last year.
Oh, yeah, you know, just, it's true on TikTok.
Well, yeah. No, you can download all the documents.
I'm just giving you shit. No, yeah, I know.
I don't have a TikTok, but I'm just saying it picked up a lot of, it was all.
You don't do those, you don't do those pointing videos where they're pointing at different things popping up?
No? Like you see my Instagram, it's all memes. I don't even want. But yeah, so it was a military document. They literally went into how we're in a holographic reality and how they go into like the Kundalini. They go into our consciousness. They talk about frequency following response. It's like 20 pages, the role of resonance. So I don't know if you've ever looked up cymatics, but if you put like some table salt on a cymatic machine that emits a certain frequency.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it just plays into, it all is connected, like with the us being energetic beings. And like, now that I have this theory of the black hole planet, it also fits into that. And the fact that the CIA and the military has done an extensive research and hidden it from us is interesting.
Can I ask about that reasoning, Lala, just a little bit more? I think I've treaded over this ground before. I'm just always interested with the different answers that come out of it. To that idea that you believe it when you see it, we've acknowledged that none of us are realistically going to go into space today.
I might.
Can you astral project?
Yeah. So we are we, is the average person walking around being adult for for not thinking the same way about space, about not thinking, listen, I need to see it. I'm not going to ever get to see it or to ever get a chance to see it. But my life is lived best based off of things that I can see with my own two eyes. Is that really what the thought is? Like, is that, are people, how much are people sheep if they think that it's just a globe, you know, based on your thinking? I mean, people process this question in a very different way. They're relying on people who work at NASA, who claim to have gone to space, things like this. What's wrong? What shortcoming is there in that reasoning? What's better? What's made better by saying, I need to see with my own two eyes?
There's nothing wrong with that reasoning. But just to go further into it. So, you know, there's people who believe the Earth is a globe. There's people who believe the Earth is flat. The flat earthers, for some reason, you know, to the globe people, they're crazy, right? But the flat earthers are like so set. Like once you go flat earth, you never go back. I'm not married to either. And I've always had this like inclination that it could potentially be both. Like what if the world is flat too, and it's on a bigger sphere, for example? But when I brought up this topic of potentially having a black hole planet to flat earthers, I was met with severe cognitive dissonance. And I find that very curious, because any topic, the people always want to be right. They want to be right. So like you have it figured out. And for me, I don't have shit figured out. I'm never going to pretend I do. And that's why I'm going to continue learning. I don't know if the Earth is a black hole planet, but I was very not surprised, just like, wow, this cognitive dissonance in the truther community. Yeah, you can come up with literally anything, but this is the first one that I was like, okay, I have to look into this now more. So,
and it sounds crazy too when you say black hole planet, because you think like that's impossible, you know what I mean? But again, you're the first one that's really told me about it, so it is something that's interesting to me. But with the cognitive dissonance and like just the programming, not so much predictive, but just the programming,
right?
You learn that the Earth is a globe before you can really talk, you know what I mean? Like you see the globes, the little spinning things. And again, I'm not a flat earther. You know, I told David Weiss, I don't really, you know, subject myself to either of the beliefs. It does kind of seem like we're just in some sort of weird realm. But at the same time, we could be on an Earth. And I was just talking with my friends today. It's like, what if the conspiracy theorists are just wrong about everything? What if we're crazy and we are fucking just like the Earth's round? Everything that Bill Gates is doing is 100% wholesome.
Oh, hell no.
The central bank.
That's where I draw the line.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So like, hold on. That's what I'm saying is like, you know, the central bank is good. Donald Trump was the worst thing that ever happened to this country. If Hillary Clinton would have only won, you know, the world would be so
kids.
Yeah. And COVID-19 is killing millions and millions of people. That's my thing. That's like, sometimes I think that you have to kind of subject yourself to that thought just so that you don't go too far down this hole to where like nothing that the government is saying is real and all that kind of shit. I try to stay somewhere in the middle, but then when I try to subject myself to that line of thought where Bill Gates is a good guy and all that kind of shit, I do the research again and I find the same information and I can't get behind that thought.
I agree with you. But then I also think, so I do that every day. I question every day that, am I just crazy? Because it feels like it, especially like this world is upside down. But on the other side, they feel the same exact way about us. But I also think about like the algorithms of what we see. So what we're, even with the severe censorship, what we are allowed to see through our feed is that we're allowed to see it. So how much research can we how much research is this? Is it placed there specifically on purpose as a division or a divisive technique? And then like, have you ever heard of like the Baron Trump time traveler book theory? So like, I was thinking theory. About that, because I loved that theory too. And then I was like, what if they just made this book and put it out there and said it was published back then just to push this time traveler theory for the conspiracy theory people? And it literally was just published like 2 years ago. So I think there's records of it. But it's like anything can be manufactured, like So I always am thinking about this, and that's why like people want to stand by science, people want to stand by facts, people want to stand by their research. And it's like, of course, yes, but the other side of that is your intuition, what is innate in you, what your higher self is telling you. I know this is a hard concept to grasp, atheist.
No. It's actually
below the bowel. Totally kidding.
It actually is not too long of a stretch. I mean, I am critical of the elites at the top in the same ways, and people in my camp very, very regularly write you alternative thinkers off. It really, really is a disservice to the entire world, especially as the world is getting more globalized. Sorry to tell you, the globalists are winning. But as that is happening, we need people who are fervent about their fear, maybe a little bit of psychoticism, because that sometimes ends up to be true. But if you're being a little bit neurotic or psychotic about those people at top, every now and then they're going to end up doing exactly what you predict, because you're just predicting them to do so much, so many terrible things every day. Look, it is not a stretch to me that to say that Morgan's companies killed 1,500 people. They do that by their own. I mean, just the amount of farmland that this guy has, you know, people's arms get sucked into these farming machines. People just die regularly because of, again, malpractice, bad government standards. Maybe that has something to do with it, but also just because you have a bunch of people working next to farming equipment, it happens. But the kind of distilled cynicism that you guys have towards those big league companies and industries is, I think, like, we, there's a place for it. And people who are on my side who tell you guys to fuck off on, and call you guys just dumbasses, they do a huge disservice to themselves. So no, against that, and keep the questions coming. However, Lala, when you say the opposite of research and evidence, do you think that in your mind, do you think that research and evidence are necessarily the opposite of intuition?
I mean, no.
No,
that's not what I meant. What I meant by that is that while it is important to, you know, science and research and facts, it's like, COVID is the perfect example of why science is like a flaw. Because if you look at all at the PCR tests and what they can manipulate to give you the numbers that they want, and then we have these people who's essentially like science is their religion, when it is something that to me means literally nothing if you understand how it works. I think that that's one part of it. And without the intuition, which I think a lot of the liberals are lacking, specifically in the COVID topic, they're just like completely letting everything to the experts, to the scientific experts. Like, Dr. Fauci is a god to these people. Like, and I'm saying this quite literally. They're making all of these weird TikToks, like videos praising a pharmaceutical drug.
To your earlier point, though, he is also the devil to your conspiracy theorists too. So there is that.
He's a complete hypocritical idiot. I don't give him that much credit as the devil. If anything, we're talking about Dr. Fauci. I just think he's a hypocritical idiot. Okay, but you guys are in Arizona, right?
Yes.
Okay. So as a liberal, are you a liberal too? You're not, right?
Me?
Yeah.
Ryan is red. No, Ryan is red as it gets.
Okay. No, so I'm like this.
Well, hey, you know what? I want to be identified as they or them, just so that you know.
No.
No. We're in a liberal enclave, a college town. But yes, we're in a red state that's very, very slowly going blue. But
well, I love this. So we're not in an echo chamber right now. We got the liberal. We have the conservative. I'm like apolitical. Really. But this is perfect. I love this. So what is your opinion on the election fraud and Maricopa County?
I just
want to read this first. There was something right before our call that Maricopa County was forced to admit to auditors that they do not have the admin password for the voting machines, and they did not have it on election night either.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. Before I get into that, I do want to let Brandon know you're not really a globalist, Brandon. I know you think you are. I don't think that you really are. The same group of people that love communism were so scared that Donald Trump was a Russian asset. I don't get that logic, because Russia's pretty fucking communist. So that's very interesting to be scared of an orange man that is a communist asset, but you also hate him. Yeah, wouldn't you like someone that's a Russian asset? Maybe not, because, oh, you know what? I forgot. The Russians are white. White people are the worst, dude. If they were the Chinese communists, that'd be perfect.
Your argument starts with, I don't understand something. That does a whole bunch for your argument, man. It's called the argument from ignorance.
No, I get it. Just there's such a lack of common sense there. But so as far as the audit goes here, there's a lot of weird shit going on. There was this carnival. I posted about it on our Instagram. There was a carnival that was an impromptu thing. This crazy times carnival, it's called, that pops up. I feel like it was a distraction. I was so convinced that there was going to be some type of false flag. I even saw on Craigslist, Maricopa County, that there was a independent firm hiring actors. Of course, they didn't call them crisis actors, but they said you'll get $125 and $25 for every time you complete a task. That's more than the average leftist makes in a year, really, you know, because they live with their parents most of the time. But I mean, there's something up. There's something up. There's a very interesting theory that the entire recount is theater. And I tend to believe that because our governor, Doug Ducey, his real name is Doug Roscoe. And for the record, I'm not suicidal. I'm very happy with my life. But Doug Ducey's real name is Doug Roscoe. His father was very tied in with the mob, much like Hillary Clinton's dad was. But the idea is that it's going to take about 40 days from start to finish for this recount, and they're going to come up with nothing. Nothing's going to change, and they're going to replace Doug Ducey in during his next election with a cartel asset. And I forget the name. His name's slipping my mind, but it's going to be a very far left cartel asset, Sinaloa cartel paid individual. That's going to be the governor. And I think he's a white guy, so it's not too obvious that he's involved with the Mexican cartels. But the fact that the Democratic Party couldn't come up with $1 million to push the audit back, there's something fishy there alone, because Hillary Clinton or George Soros or Bill Clinton or anyone else shits $1 million. You know what I mean? So it's all theater to me. I'm not too excited about it, but then again, you have people like Lynn Wood coming out and saying that this is the beginning of the downfall of Biden. Mike Lindell, as crazy as he is, he's been right about some things. He's saying that Trump's going to be in August. I don't lend much credence to the whole thing. I do think that the dark side is winning right now. And when I say the dark side, it's not the average person like Brandon that identifies as a globalist, because they're a globalist, like, you know, a self-identified globalist like Brandon's not going to get anything out of the globalists winning. You know, they're going to take care of their own, and their own aren't we the people. Joe Biden said it himself. We the people is the government, man. Come on, man. They're the government, man. You know what I mean? When he says that the we the people need the guns, it's not you. It's not you people. It's the government. So, I mean, like, they don't give a shit about the common people. A party that wants people to be successful and wealthy and rich, that's the conservative party. And the liberal party, the Democrat party, relies on people to be poor and downtrodden, because these are the people that will vote for them. This is why they don't want ID. This is why they want immigrants pouring in. They want people that have no hope, more and more of them, because those are the people that are going to vote Democrat. Look at welfare checks. You know, the people that get welfare, they spend that money so quickly. And Brandon and I were talking about, I'm ranting here, but Brandon and I were talking about how they're taking nicotine out of cigarettes. And a lot of people see that as a positive thing. Who's going to benefit from the lower nicotine in cigarettes? It's not the people. It's not healthier. All the people are going to do is they're going to buy two packs of cigarettes versus one. Nicotine addicts still need their nicotine. You know what I mean? So it's not going to change a thing there. What were you going to say, Brandon?
Help me understand that, Ryan. I think the thing we were talking about was the fact that they're getting rid of menthol cigarettes. Right. I just wanted to make sure. I didn't hear anything.
Well, hey, that's not too good for black people. You know what I mean? A lot of black people like smoking menthol. So, I mean, that's the whole point where, you know, it's not
for their health. It is. It sure as shit is. I mean, that's cigarettes are a weird, weird thing, because first off, I'm super, aware of and on the side of public health. I think you guys even call it the healthcare scam of some sort. Anyways, what's it called, Ryan? There's a term for it where it's like health.
What's that?
Healthcare, health scare or something like that.
I'm not sure what you're talking about here, but if you're talking about Obamacare, the free healthcare plan that you have to pay for. Yeah. It's very, very much a scam.
Right. And then, well, the idea is that that the leftists, the globalists, will invent reasons for the world's population to be more fearful so that they will accept government overreach into their daily lives. I'll stay clear of ideology, I think, in my explanation, which is just about those voting machines. Every character, every actor had in that entire 4-month long episode that we had, at the end of last year into early this year, every actor in that had every incentive to just do their jobs. Things like the court hearings on specific claims of voter fraud were put on Zoom and then put out for everyone to see. And when even people, the most ardent supporters of President Trump, were on there, like Rudy Giuliani, and they were asked, hey, in the court by the judge, are you actually bringing to this court claims of fraud? Even Rudy Giuliani said, no, I'm not doing that. The reason they don't do that is because they will be held liable. The mechanisms by which they will be held liable, I can completely understand that you guys think that they are tainted, laced with the deep state to a certain extent. I agree with you.
No,
it's just that every actor had their incentive to do their job. And in all of these 60 court cases, none of them panned out. And predictions were made based off of this level of thinking, right? Predictions were made like, hey, the 6th, something's going to happen. Inauguration day, something's going to happen. And time after time, they fall and they fall and they fall. It's like the great disappointment, as Ryan and I discussed in one of our early episodes here.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't have to, just because you support a candidate doesn't mean you have to agree with every single thing that they're doing. That's the problem with the left.
Absolutely not. Yep. I agree with you there. That's I would argue that's a completely separate issue. I'm down for the criticism of Biden. I am especially going to be looking for it. Because I'm on his side, like, I think you need to clean your own house before you tell other people how to make their own. So I hope to be a bit of
America first, baby.
But the idea, the mechanism of voting, I think there's my explanation kind of just speaks what my thoughts were on it. So
sure. What are your thoughts, Lala? What do you think is going on with the election?
I definitely think there was election fraud. Will it be proven? I mean, there's a lot of, you know, unfolding of what's happening in Maricopa, and I'm like hoping for the best, expecting the worst type thing. I just think, well, you brought up Lynn Wood, and as much as I love Lynn Wood, he gets everyone fired up with the shit he says. You know, he feeds into all of the theories that we believe to be true. And but then there's been this thing that keeps coming up, and I knew that he was JonBenet's family's lawyer, but when I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about that and mentioned that, it kept coming to me. It's like, that's kind of weird, because the whole premise is that like the JonBenet case was potentially fake, and like the dad was one of the inventors of CGI, and maybe they were like seeing like, would people buy into this if we created this entire case of like a CGI person that did not exist? And so if you were to go into that, like, follow me for a second, then you take Lynn Wood, who's like the closest to the family, who potentially would know that it was CGI and like hid that. Is he even a white hat at that point? Because wouldn't he be this character that he's playing with, like putting the gas on the fire, if you will, on the conservative side? And because if you like, another thing they talked about is like, this person does not exist. So like, mm-hmm. if you go to thispersondoesnotexist.com, it's just all these AI pictures. And then, I mean, the whole entire thing, like you said, is theater to me. That includes partly this audits that are going on, giving the right hope that something's going to happen, which you have already seen that the court is corrupt. The legislature's corrupt. To me, it's like, what the fuck are we waiting for? Obviously, when people tried to stand up at January 6th, it got called an insurrection, which is a joke.
Yeah. Especially when you find out how the people that were really leading the charge were paid by CNN.
Exactly. And then it's proven. It's like,
that is proven.
So what are your thoughts on like Biden being an actor, being CGI, being a double? I mean, I just saw a video today I posted on my story with his, when he was getting his vaccine, and he had black hair on his arm. And then if you look at him anywhere else, and in that specific picture, his head looks CGI'd onto the body. And then if you look anywhere else, he has blonde hair on his arms.
Yeah, there's a very interesting video too, where it looks like he's wearing a mask almost, where his neck almost looks like tan, too dark or tan. Address that they didn't call the State of the Union, they called it something else. And this is literally to get people to, you know, it's going to get conservatives to say, hey, Biden still hasn't given a State of the Union. You're supposed to do that within 2 months of the president's administration, yada, yada, yada. And then Democrats will say, well, no, he did do a State of the Union. And it's to pit people against each other. They're trying to pit white against black, left against right, rich against poor, but not the people versus the government. They'll do anything that they can fucking do to keep it. Are we allowed to cuss on your show?
Absolutely.
Okay. I've done it too many times, and I've heard other people cuss on your show too, but I just didn't want to, be dropping too many. But no, so the point is that they're trying so hard to start a civil war to avoid a revolutionary war type situation. But I don't see it. I really don't see it changing unless someone comes like a Donald Trump type figure. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is like Jesus reincarnated, like a lot of the QAnon people think. But what he represented in the beginning, or what he pretended to represent, was definitely something that I was definitely behind. You know what I mean? Without knowing where you fall politically. And when you say that you're apolitical, I can tell that you would prefer Trump over Biden.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then when it comes to Trump and a Bernie Sanders, I would guess that you would prefer Trump over Bernie Sanders as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm not that far off base with you then. So like, that's the point, is that if Trump is this right wing neo-Nazi fascist fuck,
he's not.
I know. But like, if someone, so many,
I'll say he's not too. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, there he is. He's back. Quit talking shit. But no, that the whole thing here was that we were saying was that if so many apolitical people do like Trump, you know, we talked with Dirty Martini, and then what the fuck is her friend's name? The girl with the blonde hair. Fuck, dude, I feel so bad. I don't remember her name. Cheney. There's a few people that they look like they would be hardcore Bernie Sanders supporters, you know. I'm not going to assume that these girls are lesbian or anything. And if they are, hey, that's their fucking business. But they can, right? What's that?
I said, you can go ahead and assume that. It's a safe assumption, I think.
Well, it is. I mean, I'm saying, like, I never asked them, I can't confirm or deny that they are or not, but they very much look like those punk rock lesbian type chicks, and that's fine. But again, they seem like they would support a hyper leftist candidate like Bernie Sanders, and they said that they did in the beginning, but then they started realizing, okay, this dude is pushing socialism, but he's a multimillionaire, owns 3 homes, he just bought a new home. You got Obama buying beachfront property while promoting global warming and rising ocean levels. There's a big hypocrisy there. And then you have Donald Trump saying, fuck everyone else. Let's take care of the United States first. It's kind of like putting your own oxygen mask on before you fasten your child's mask. I don't have a kid, but I know that most parents, they care about their child more than they care about themselves. But you have to put your own mask on. If a plane's going down, you put your own mask on so that you can make sure that you put your own child's mask on, the person that you care about the most in the world. And that's kind of a very sort of an arbitrary way to look at it. It's a kind of a weird way to look at it, but take care of the United States so that we can actually take care of people, not launder money through these billion dollar. What's that?
That is all it is.
You know? It's money laundering, dude. And anyone that doesn't see that is just not paying attention. It's clear that sending billions of dollars to Pakistan for gender studies, these people hate gay people, they hate women, they hate everyone that's not them. And then you have hardcore liberals that identify as Marxists, but they like going to the winery. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are we talking about here? The hypocrisy is on a level that you just have to be so far up your own ass.
Well, it's almost like you don't pay
attention to anything.
We talk about this idea, you know, of sovereignty, and they put it in your face so they can say, well, come on, if you didn't realize it, like they're like letting you know without letting you know. Because like you said, like the idea of gender studies in Pakistan,
like it's laughable.
Everyone, I mean, and even I was like, is this going to unite us? Because the liberals were pissed at that distribution of funds as well. And it was short-lived and then the division again. So what do you think, Brandon? Do you think it's possible that Biden could be CGI, a double based on, you know,
what's yeah. So I'll come at it again. I try to put political ideology into this as least as I can and just come at it from a skeptical perspective. That skeptical perspective is a pain in the ass, even for me, because I have to work myself through believing certain things that in my own line of thinking, I'm questioning like, oh, well, shit, well, why do I believe that then if I'm going to go by this standard of evidence, so on and so forth. I will say for specifically for him being a holograph of some sort, some fake person, that implies some things. That implies things like Jill not being an accomplice to this. It implies things like
Hunter, Dr. Jill. Hey, Dr. Jill.
Dr. Jill. Hunter and Bo being some sort of plant.
Bo's and dead.
Just
curious if you look into that.
Right. So just simply from that, with the amount of people that rich people know, that I just know that with the amount that we know about individual and group psychology, someone is going to blow the whistle. Someone is going to want to write a book. Someone is going to want to get rich off of it. And it, to a certain extent, I understand the threat is death, like against the deep state, the threat of coming out and telling someone who works with the fake Joe Biden, that telling the world that he's actually a holograph, he's not even a real person, he's a puppet, literally, that just implies that those people are going to keep their mouths shut. I understand the idea that these deep state actors have such complete control over people that they wouldn't let that happen and wouldn't put them in a place to where a single whistleblower would be able to bring their empire down. Every conspiracy that you lay on top of the other makes that idea of reality more and more complex, where it has to be the perfect gears meshing up. And I understand they have the funds for this to make this kind of thing happen, but all of those gears have to mesh up perfectly. And they just like that. We just know that things go wrong. People blow the whistle. People want to tell their story, things like this. So that's the skeptical reason. It's the same reasoning that I apply to Trump being a time traveler, a more than the average 70-year-old white person racist or Nazi. You know, like that's the same level of thinking that I apply to those too. As far as the CIA, I don't know if you're implying CIA plants of Bo and Hunter, Lala, that you were kind of secondarily asking me about. If you think that every coincidence means something, which I understand the thought that goes into that decision making. But if you think that every coincidence isn't just a coincidence that it's made, that makes sense. I just happen to believe that coincidences happen, that you know, we can, by the 6 degrees of separation or eight in some cases, connect, you know, you, Lala, or you, Ryan, to any person in the world almost, just by our ways of interacting, some tangential way we can relate to those. And coincidences do happen, and our brains are pattern seeking machines, and sometimes those patterns aren't there, and there's a reason that we see patterns that aren't there, that we shouldn't actually see because they aren't there. That evolutionarily makes sense to me. But again, that comes with my worldview, which is coincidences happen, evolution is real, and fuck God. So how many people are going to agree with me? I don't know.
It's weird to say fuck God if you don't believe in God. That's the whole point. But not like there are there absolutely there absolutely are coincidences. Hold on.
Fuck the idea of God is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's a whole there absolutely are coincidences. I mean, like there was this one time I was going to a wedding and I bought the weirdest fucking shirt that I found at a Ross. It was like velvet. It was teal. It was the weirdest shit that I'd ever seen, but I thought it was pretty cool. So I bought it. And then at the wedding, there was a dude wearing the same fucking shirt, the exact same shirt that I bought at Ross, dressed for less. Okay. And that's a coincidence. But when you start seeing all of the things like how, you know, watch this segue right here, tying it back to the Titanic, how on March 31st on a particular year, the construction started, then 3 years later it finished. That's fine. That's pretty, you know, that's a something that could be, you know, tied to planning or a coincidence even. But JP Morgan, the guy funding it, dying the same day, a year later after the maiden voyage, that can't be chalked up to a coincidence. That seems to be a ritualistic type of a component there, in my opinion. Now, it's just where you want to draw your line to where it's like, I remember when we were younger, Brandon, you would always talk about deja vu. You would think like, I feel like I've done this before, blah, blah, blah. That's not a coincidence. There's something there when you feel deja vu. I don't know how often you feel deja vu anymore, but you know, there's a certain component to life where it's like, is this a coincidence or is there something deeper going on here? And when you start talking about these major world changing and culturally pivoting events, there's so much at stake that you can't chalk it up to coincidence. The most, you know, current thing is this, this COVID bullshit. There's a lot of weird coincidences going on. People getting vaccinated and then dying the next day. A lot of people will call that a coincidence, you know, like, oh, it was just his time or her time. The number of people that have tested positive after getting their vaccines, you can't call those types of things coincidences. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I can't confirm that the COVID shot is a population control thing. Even though there are some very interesting shows like Utopia with John Cusack, you know, coming out, and John Cusack is this Bill Gates type figure where he's like, I'm willing to kill myself for the cause. You know, was that what JP Morgan was doing for the Federal Reserve? You know, killing himself for the cause, the day, you know, putting these ritualistic elements into it. I don't know. I mean, there's just so much at stake for these people, and they have a serious agenda that they have to uphold, and they solidify their positions, like George H.W. Bush being one of the most powerful players of all time in the United States. He's like a skull and bones god. Supposedly he dug up Geronimo's skull and Pancho Villa's skull, and they put it, like, he's the reason that they have those skulls in the tomb at Yale University. And then they put his dumbass kid, George W. Bush, in charge of president for 8 years. You know what I mean? Like, this is them just solidifying their bloodlines and just ensuring that no one fucks with their kids in the future.
One last soft trivia bit, because you did do such a great job of segueing back to the Titanic, Ryan. You know, this programming, this ritualistic stuff often involves drugs. I think a lot of people who have dug at all into the Titanic will have heard the little anecdote of the fact that someone apparently on the set of James Cameron's Titanic movie had laced intentionally his corn chowder with LSD. Now, apparently that LSD didn't even get to James Cameron. It instead got to the rest of the crew. I don't know what day of production that happened, but on some day of filming of the Titanic, apparently, according to Foker, cinematographer, a folk legend, the entire crew was high on LSD. Isn't that the best day to be actually going? Huh?
Was James Cameron going to eat a fucking cauldron of corn chowder? I mean, like, how do I get to the rest of the crew?
I think that this kind of folk tale comes about just in the same way as a whole bunch of quote alternative facts, quote unquote facts that you guys present in your arguments.
Yeah, it sounds like Bigfoot.
Let's go to the facts
because you said specifically that there would be all these people that would be whistleblowers if you know these things were to be true. I mean, Bo Biden is dead. He had a curious cancer that was on the up and up and then died like suddenly. That to me, I believe that Bo Biden would have been a whistleblower. There had been stories coming out. Like, I think that he, like, you know, he was in the military. He probably had more morals than the rest of the family, which we all know the Bidens do not have fucking morals. He cheated on his wife with Jill. She killed herself in the car, supposedly, like she was crying. Who knows if it was intentional or not, but she died.
Who's this?
His first wife died in a car accident when he cheated on her with Jill. And then.
Interesting. Did you know that, Brandon?
No, I did not.
Ashley Biden, his daughter, revealed a diary of pedophilia type shit mm-hmm. with him. We all know he sniffs children. Hunter Biden went on to have a relationship with Bo's wife right after he died. A good person does not do that. And we also know that what's on Hunter's laptop. Where is Hunter? So hey. Let's, you know, like there is all the elements that you said, but my question, regardless of all that, do you think that that's Joe Biden, who's the same one that was VP of Obama? Because I do not.
For sure. Just to plant my flag, I'll say yes.
Yes.
And leave it at that. I don't know about till the end of the episode, but I'll say yes. I'm glad that I voted for him just to stick it into you guys and screw it around there a little
bit. That's so embarrassing.
I know. Isn't that the worst? And his girlfriend has a a fucking Biden Harris sticker, and she doesn't even know anything about politics. It's the worst.
Tell her that every time family story I just told you.
Yeah, you know, the downfall of our culture is that you don't have to know a whole bunch to have a very, very strong opinion about things. As I will contest.
I just told you he's a pedophile, a horrible family man, and you just said you're proud to vote for him.
Yeah.
Well, no, you have to understand, Lala, the difference in our thought processes lead us to different conclusions about what a person does. I'm part of my project here is to just display how different the world looks through a liberal/skeptic's eyes. To me, he is as much of a pedophile as Trump was, which I don't think Trump was a pedophile. Do you know what I mean? Like that is just my level of thinking. So,
well, I would disagree with you on that because I do think that Trump is a pedophile of sorts. Right. And this might, you know, trip people out. Him and his original wife, or I don't know if it's original, but Ivana, they were a very key part of Jeffrey Epstein's empire. And this is just a fact. Whitney Webb is a huge, journalist that is, I mean, I shouldn't say huge journalist, but she's dug deep into Trump. I heard about her all from Tim Dillon's podcast. Great podcast. I shouldn't be promoting it because it's fucking huge, but hey, here we are. But the thing is, like, you know, there was the Clintons were a huge part in Jeffrey Epstein's empire, and so were the Trumps. And Ghislaine Maxwell and Ivana Trump were best fucking friends. You know what I mean? So it's very interesting. Trump wasn't on the official flight logs, but he was on a separate set of flight logs. My reason for still supporting Trump, despite his, more nefarious dealings, he's absolutely a crime boss. He's a filthy fucking person. I'm not going to say I wouldn't want Trump. People always use that analogy. Would you let him watch your daughter? You know what I mean? There's not many fucking people I would let watch my daughter that I don't have. I don't have a daughter. I don't have a kid. But I'm just saying if I did. Period. Yeah, there's not. Yeah. Thank God I don't have a kid. But I mean, like the whole point is like if if I had a kid, there's not many fucking people I would trust around my kid. So when you start looking at the people and the way that they interact, one last thing about Rudy Giuliani, since we mentioned that, do you know the one? So Rudy Giuliani, he was raided by the FBI at 6 a.m. It was the warrant was for all the electronic devices in his house, TVs, computers, hard drives, blah, blah, blah. Do you know the two hard drives that were not removed from Rudy Giuliani's house? Does anyone know that? Well,
according to his interview with, I believe, Tucker Carlson, he said he literally held these hard drives up and said, this is the straight copy of Hunter's. Do you guys want this? And they said no, right? That's according to Giuliani, right?
Yeah, and that's according to the police reports and stuff too. But the problem is what he said is that he could have been lying. They could have been Vladimir Putin's. They could have been Donald Trump's. They could have been anyone's. But the FBI knew exactly what was what, and they didn't take Hunter Biden's hard drives. So why is that? And by the way, Hunter Biden, very well endowed. He's got like a 9-inch cock. I don't know if you've seen it, but I mean, it's online.
I have not. I don't want to see it.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, it's very interesting. It's just kind of fucked up that that this dude is, and he's teaching a fake news course at some college now too. I don't know if you heard about that, but Hunter Biden, that is
Trump University, probably is the school he was going to, is teaching at. But
well, the thing with like, so the Epstein connection, I know that he was on one of the flight logs from Florida to New York. I did not see any of him actually going to the island, you know, and it's his ex-wife, Ivana, who was doing the work. I mean, yeah, it was related to Trump, but I don't know. It's like you constantly hear these things that he's involved, he's a Jesuit or he's a Freemason, and he's very divisive. This is like one of the things that I also have to keep questioning, but the only evidence that I've seen when I go in and look at it is like really old ass pictures of like him and Clinton and him and Epstein. It's like, okay, he ran in those same circles. There's interesting tidbits where he, like, they would not sell him like a casino. Mar-a-Lago. Yeah, like they like kind of kept him out of the circle is part of it. But it's like, I always go back to is like, was it scrubbed? Was there more pictures of them together that were scrubbed? Because the information that we think that we're doing and all of this digging, I still go back to that. Like, is it just what they're allowing us to see to tell their story, to keep this divisiveness? And I think you hit it right on the head when you said it's all about distracting us, we, the people, from going after the real evil people who are at the top in the government.
Well, and it's not so much about, like, there's another really interesting thing about Trump, where if you want to own an NFL team, all all of the other NFL team owners have to agree that this individual can own an NFL team. Donald Trump wanted to buy the New York Jets, and he had the money. He had every ability to do it. And no one wanted him involved with the NFL. And then, you know, the whole rumor is that him and Jeffrey Epstein were friends. Maybe this is why Trump divorced Ivana, was because she was into the pedophilia shit and the child trafficking. I feel like that's a stretch. But, you know, Donald Trump was in a real estate battle with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, they're New York billionaires. You know what I mean? Like, what are every fucking billionaire in the world knows each other, in Mark Cuban's words. You know what I mean? All these people at the top know each other. So, you know, Vladimir Putin, I hate to tell you, I mean, Vladimir Putin is better friends with Joe Biden than you're going to be friends with, you know, most people in the world. So, I mean, these people have a bond, and that bond is power, you know? So I don't know, another segue here for you was, you know, JP Morgan friends with Jacob Astor. I don't know, but, you know, he had to kill him for the agenda.
That does. I mean, you get these profiles of the richest people And that, I mean, the biographies are where, and documentaries are where I think skepticism should be applied the most, because a lot of the times to sell books, to paint a picture of a person as a particular thing. I mean, every president for a long time has been painted as some kind of Machiavellian character. That just, to me, that just, it's such a distillation of the human's characteristic, when you can look at the broader characteristics, like the fact that most of the financiers of Trump or Trump's organizations just thought of him as some kind of celebrity. I mean, you can, I know you guys don't believe the vote tallies, but apparently the country did as well. He's obviously just a celebrity and not too much. He doesn't even know what a nuclear triad is. Any of these minute things, these basic things that you got to know in order to rule kind of the world. I don't consider the government, the American government, as the top, the pinnacle of the world, but that just goes to my larger point, though, of there's just malfeasance instead of malpractice. Trump can be a perfectly good guy and be not as skilled as at running the country as someone who has been in politics for a while, similar to other practices. Like, I don't want a new ass dentist, a dentist working on my mouth. Like, I would prefer.
But do you want Joe Biden running anything?
What's that?
Do you want Joe Biden running anything? I mean, anything. Would you want Joe Biden really running anything?
Well, again, this is the idea of the outsider coming in. I'd prefer to have a pilot who's made a few mistakes in the past.
A few?
Someone who flew a plane at all, you know.
He's a different person than he was in the beginning. The dude doesn't know where the fuck he's at.
As anyone is, as people are. People are different people 10 years ago from what they are today.
But I'm talking about cognitively, not just morally. I'm talking cognitive ability. The dude is gone.
Oh, sure. There's a cognitive degradation for sure, but I don't think that the president is the commander, is not Poseidon. He's not the commander of the oceans. He's merely the captain of the ship riding this economic
boat to the Titanic.
this boat that is actually made up of the individual choices of, at least in America, more than 350 million people. So.
I'd rather have the captain of Titanic and get on that boat than get on the captain with
Joe Biden. Yeah, dude. Well, you know, I mean, this is how you know that this was a good conversation, is that we got just so far off and we started just talking about Joe Biden being a captain of a ship. We'll see what happens, man. I think that we're in for some very interesting times. I think for the next few years, we are going to really see which side's right. Not that it's like you know, Ryan or Lala's or Brandon's side. It doesn't matter which one of us is more accurate. It matters, like, is good or evil going to prevail? And it's not, you know, not necessarily what anyone necessarily thinks is good or evil, but just like, is what's right going to be on top or not? But I mean, Lala, since you know this is a swap cast, do you want to plug your social media and anything else that you're up to these days? Do you have a Patreon?
No, I just want to say that, to add on to what you said, like, this is a spiritual war. I just want people to wake up to the fact that this is about humanity. It's not about left or right, black or white. Just zoom out. You know, it's fun to dig into these conspiracy theories and things like that, but it's not about being right. It's about what is the right thing for our future, for our children's future. So, but at the same time, it is still really fun to debate. This has been really fun having all these different views. Even a robot slave.
Vaccinated robot slave. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And so, I know that you're not talking about me. That's the fun part of this.
So my Instagram is Lala Beams with a Z. I just started my YouTube, but I don't really post on there. And no, I don't have a Patreon. I just record about four times a week right now and shitpost memes.
When did you start?
My podcast?
Yeah.
In February.
Yeah, oof. You're killing it. I like it. You're awesome, making some big moves.
Thank you. Tell my listeners about you, your podcast, and where to find y'all.
So we are Dangerous World. We're on Instagram, Dangerous World Pod. We do have a Patreon. We tend to do an hour or so of free content twice a week. And then you can find the extended versions of the episode on Patreon.com/Dangerous World Podcast. And we have some merch. We have all kinds of things. Lala, I'll make sure I send you a couple shirts if you shoot me your address. We're actually going to make, we're going to make some girl shirts here. This is one. I don't know if you can see it. It's the UFOs. I feel like it's right up your alley because you got the outer space in your background there. But I mean, you know, we're just out here. We're trying to have fun. And then also showing that, you know, even though Brandon and I have like polar opposite beliefs in how the world should be ran, neither one of us really know what the fuck is going on. And then I'm sure that you kind of can identify with that too. Like, we're kind of just flying by the seat of our pants here, and it's just kind of fun to talk shit. At the end of the day, it's all fun and games, man. Brandon and I have yelled at each other and really said some nasty things to each other, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it's all just fun and games. You know, it's just for the listeners, and it's for just, you know, having fun, man. We love doing the podcast.
Yeah, it's all in good fun. We regularly scrap it up, Lala. So your listeners can tune in for a lot of that. We have the Patreon. That's patreon.com/dangerousworldpodcast. On the Instagram, we have a Facebook page, Facebook group, and at the email, you can reach out to us individually. You're speaking directly to us when you email us. So please tell us what you think, especially about how much of a robot fuck doll that I am. So that's dangerousworldpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, Lala, for joining us, man. This was awesome.
It was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, Lala, you're great. You're going to kill the game in the future. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, guys.